Registration is now open for the 2018 100% free Fall Home Medicine Summit. 37 experts setting you free of drugstores and big pharma. You will learn how to create your own personal pharmacy, how to reverse diabetes naturally, and much, much more. The free Fall Home Medicine Summit starts October 15th, so register today. Click the link below.
Well, let's face it. A lot of people didn't like Obama or didn't like Junior Bush, but you don't impeach them because you don't like their policies,
right?
Or you don't like their the whole impeaching thing is a joke. Yeah. You don't impeach them unless they do some kind of high level crime. So now, by disclosing these documents, it'll take the very tip of the iceberg, so we can start going down the iceberg. Is that what we're seeing?
Because going down the iceberg and actually up toward the top of the iceberg. You see,
up towards the top of the power, but start to really get a picture of this.
Of the criminality that was pervasive. Mm-hmm. Because I believe the third part that they want to get the declassification on, the 302 forms, the FBI forms of Bruce Orr, the number four guy at the in the Department of Justice, I believe will indicate that a big chunk of that fake Russian dossier, it's been said that it was written by Steele, this guy who has ties to British intelligence. He's an employee of Fusion GPS that was getting money from the DNC and also from the Clinton campaign. I also believe that it will show that Bruce Orr was a primetime author of the fake Russian dossier under the approval of Obama.
Well, didn't you find it interesting that Obama signed an emergency clause 2 weeks before he was leaving office to share all data between intelligence agencies?
Yes. That was just not a coincidence.
Well,
And the question is, if he was really interested in this transparency of information going across, why did he wait until 2 weeks before the end of his presidency? Why didn't he do it 2 weeks into his presidency?
Exactly.
Right? So the timing is the critical component of that particular act.
That was a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Because
So when these documents are declassified, the FISA warrant issue, the text issue between McCabe and Comey, the 302 forms from Bruce Orr. Here's what I believe the ramifications of that, because many people say, okay, well, so they're declassified. No, it's going to show the pervasiveness of the criminality, okay? And I believe what's going to happen at that point is you're going to see some movement on a couple fronts. One of the fronts is you're going to see movement at that point from a prosecutor out of Utah that Sessions has appointed to kind of oversee the indictment process, this being Huber. I think, and just last week, last Thursday, Sessions flew out to Utah and had a long meeting with Huber. And that was last Thursday. The mainstream media didn't cover that, but it occurred. And I believe the coincidence of that meeting, of the timing, was not a coincidence. It was actually a pre-planned issue where Sessions was coming up to speed with Huber. Remember, Huber's based in Utah. He's not in the swamp. There's a reason why Sessions did that. Why? Because if he would have generated all these indictments out of an office in Washington, it would have gone in front of grand juries in Washington, D.C., which is drastically different than grand juries in Utah or elsewhere around the country. So that strategic planning of having a known, seasoned federal prosecutor who's dedicated to the rule of law, which everything that's out there on Huber says he's that guy, and have him overseeing this indictment process. And we hear about these 50,000, 57,000 indictments, and many people roll their eyes and say they don't exist. I believe they do exist, but I believe many of these indictments are not going to be unsealed because they're being used as leverage on people saying, resign your office, walk away. You haven't done anything other than financial crimes, which are bad enough, but we're going to let you walk, but you're also going to turn over evidence to us, and that indictment remains sealed. And I think this is why we see so many people in the House of Representatives, in the Senate, Wall Street executives, people out of Hollywood that are leaving their jobs for family reasons, right? So they can spend more time with their family. Yeah, maybe more spend time with their family and no time in jail. So I think that, so you're going to see one of the ramifications of this classification, you're going to see Huber all of a sudden step out of the shadows and start opening up some of these indictments. This is where I think you're going to see some of the higher level indictments coming. So prosecuting through the criminal courts, okay? Then I also believe you're going to see a second, if you will, column of response, and that is what was discussed by Lindsey Graham and Kavanaugh at the hearing. You're going to see the military tribunals become more overt rather than covert.
Well, see, that'll be important for the public.
Yes, it's very important. It's very important, but understand something. The minute that happens, the deep state's puppets are going to scream that this is unconstitutional.
Well,
and that's why having that 5-4 rule of law majority in the court, Supreme Court, is so important.
Well, do you think that's why they're prepping people for violence? Because once this starts and then they start, they want that violence to stand up when this whole process occurs.
I think the deep state does.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Not
yes.
The average person.
No. I believe, but here I believe the deep state doesn't have a finger on the pulse of the vast majority of the American public.
If your digestion is off and your metabolism is slow, it could be due to gluten. According to Harvard MD Dr. Alessio Fasano, we are able to completely digest every protein we put into our mouths with the exception of one, and that's gluten. Gluten is everywhere, almost all restaurant foods, salad dressing, soy sauce, and many, many more. Due to gluten, people are suffering from symptoms including joint pain, headaches, skin issues, digestive problems, weight gain, brain fog, and lowered immunity. Most people suffer from at least three of these. Also, people are getting gluten contamination on a daily basis. Some have more tolerance and experience less symptoms, while others are more sensitive and their health degrades faster. The good news is that there is an enzyme complex which specifically breaks down gluten, DDP5. Learn more about this amazing enzyme and be able to eat the foods you want and get back to a healthier you. Click the link below.
No, in fact, I just had Marius Landman on, and he does that. He has that algorithm that tests it's out of like 350 different calls. He's only been off 8 times, and everybody's trying. And his algorithm, when they see the feelings and figure out the trends, research and things, he's saying that people are leaving the Democratic Party in droves to support Trump. That's what his algorithm is showing.
And I also believe, and that wouldn't surprise me, because there are people that I'm aware of in my life that were not very warm on Trump. And they're still not that warm on him personally. And they don't like how he delivers his message.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, you see, you know, I don't like his attitude. But what transpired with the Kavanaugh hearing made me realize that the alternative is so onerous that I can't even face it. I can't face what these people have become as the alternative to what Trump is putting forward.
Exactly, because women are pissed. I mean, they see that and they're like, we have serious issues here. There's women who are being seriously assaulted, seriously right. raped. Right. There's all these rape kits that aren't being processed. And you aren't saying a damn thing about that. But yet we have this like clown act in front of the Supreme Court on something that happened when he was 15. People were pissed.
And
say you care about women when you do that.
Well, and rightfully so. And you know, here's the crux that my wife points out. She said, you know, the opposition to Trump and Kavanaugh has said that only the opposition cares about women, that Blasey Ford is someone they embraced and they put forward. But she said that she goes, you know,
you nailed
women
it.
Don't fall for that, because here's why.
Not anymore.
Blasey Ford presented a letter to Dianne Feinstein and asked her to keep it confidential to protect her. But Feinstein and her staff ended up releasing it and didn't even investigate it for 6 or 7 weeks. And rather than, you know, saying, okay, now they turned, they funneled her to a group of attorneys who were operatives of the deep state that had ties to the Clintons and the like.
Well, so, and she did too. I mean, let's face
it. Yes, she did. Yes, she did. If you look at her dad's affiliations, if you look at her affiliations. I mean, I was sent information on her, studies that she was a co-author on how, and point of fact, and this got some of my friends who are psychologists mad. She testified in the first couple minutes of her testimony that she was a research psychologist. Now, the reason why that's important is because if you say you're a psychologist, researcher, research psychologist, clinical psychologist, whatever, it implies that you're board certified and you've done the testing and the certification. So I went to look at the California records on certification. She was never certified as a psychologist. So she could say she does research psychological work, or she does research psychology, but to say she's a research psychologist, and to many people that might sound, oh, you're parsing words. No, in the medical world, it's a huge difference.
She gave herself a title that she doesn't have the certification.
Analogous to saying you're in college and you're in pre-medical studies and saying that you're a doctor. Okay, you haven't gone through the necessary steps and testing to be certified as a doctor in the pre-med or as a psychologist. So she did. It was involved in some studies as a person involved in psychology research, where you could take an event and fabricate an event and impregnate it into someone's mind to make them think that the event actually happened.
That's her research. That's incredible. Research, yeah. Right?
So then the question is with this story that there was no corroboration on, I mean, she named other people at the party, all of them, under penalty of perjury, said that they never were at a party like that.
I know.
Okay,
that's incredible.
If those four weren't there, then whose house did it occur at? Because it wasn't her house. It wasn't Kavanaugh's house. But what was even more telltale is her lifetime best friend, Leland Kaiser, a woman, in the letter she wrote to Feinstein, she identified Leland Kaiser as a he, not a she, which in my mind is, well, who wrote this letter? Because that's a pretty big mistake to make. But in addition to that, after the hearing was over, and Kaiser had written letters saying, I can't corroborate this story because I don't know who Kavanaugh is. I was never at a party with Kavanaugh. I never even heard of this party. But when they reopened for that week, that investigation, the FBI spoke to Kaiser, who under penalty of perjury said the same thing. Another friend of Blasey Ford's, a woman by the name of Monica McLean, who, by the way, according to Blasey Ford's former boyfriend, Blasey Ford years before had coached Monica McLean on how to lie in a polygraph. Okay? Monica McLean, who lived in Delaware, who Blasey Ford was staying with over the summer months when this letter was created, Monica McLean, who walked in the testifying room with her, when she testified in front of the House or the Senate Judiciary Committee, Monica McLean, Leland Kaiser testified to, approached her and asked her to change her testimony that she didn't remember the party.
Why? Now,
well, that's witness tampering. And the reason why she did that is because she knew the critical testimony that exonerated Kavanaugh was the fact that Blasey Ford's best friend, lifelong friend, testified that she was never at a party like this. She never met Kavanaugh. It never occurred. And they knew, in order to get the story back on track, they had to flip Leland Kaiser, and she wouldn't flip.
Well, my thing is, why couldn't they come up with something better than what they came up with?
Because I don't think they could find anything.
Well, I mean, the story they came up with was so pathetic. I mean, to believe that someone like Blasey Ford would be such a weak person is hard to believe in the first place. And then, you know, then they came up with that gang rape thing. I mean, the whole thing was so poorly constructed.
Well, and then
you nailed it. I want to say one more thing. You nailed it when you said Democrats are the only ones. They created this fake paradigm to divide and conquer. That group is the only ones that cares about women. They're the only ones that care about black people. They're the only ones that care about Hispanics. They're the only ones that care. These people don't care. Well, that's BS.
You know, it's interesting. I go back in time. About 25 years ago, a prominent Democrat came up to me because of my work in prevention. He goes, "You know, Dave, you really upset me." Why do I upset you? Because this whole prevention narrative that you push. I go, "Why does that upset you?" He goes, "Because your whole concept about your prevention work is that you care about people."
Exactly. And he goes, "Hello."
And Dave, you're taking our juice, man. You're taking what we're all about. I go, understand something. This isn't marketing for me, this prevention empowerment thing. This is what I want for people. I go, but what you're telling me is this whole caring thing is just a marketing scam for you folks.
That's what it is.
Right. And that's the thing. If they truly cared about Blasey Ford, she never would have testified in public. Her name never would have come out. They never would have arranged for have attorneys to be representing her that are representatives of the deep state. No. And this is why women are mad, because there are too many women that are abused.
Too many real things. Yes.
Real events. And unfortunately, now what they've done by doing this and how they did it, the people that truly have been abused, past, present, and future, are harmed by that.
I know. That's what makes me so angry.
I agree.
Because what we're trying to change, me and you and the alternative media, is to stop the abuse wherever it's coming from, whether it's financial, wars, children, whatever. And all they're doing is having it all on display.
It's very true. And so this is why I think there's this backlash. And I don't think the deep state, the middle-level puppets of the deep state, have realized the magnitude. They realize there's some blowback, but I don't think they've realized the magnitude of the blowback.
No, I don't think so either. Like the algorithm, Marius Landman's algorithm is saying, you've turned your crowd. They're moving. The hashtag walkaway movement is stronger than ever.
And I would agree with that based on what I'm hearing from people across the board from around our country.
Yeah, and that's good. People walking away from that spectacle is good. And I understand the concern about Kavanaugh. And
yeah, I do too.
I get it too. But you can't have that concern and then support the circus.
Right.
Because if they had, why not go after the concern?
Correct.
You made something else up to go after. You didn't go after the crux of what you're concerned about. So that's the crux of the problem.
Right. And if you really look at the meat of his hearing, you know,
it was kind of funny in places.
Was a focus on his rulings, a focus on his judicial philosophy, a focus on where he sees the court's future, but instead it turned into this.
What the word for flatulence was when they were 15 years old. That's
high school yearbook?
His high school yearbook. I mean, it was so ludicrous. Can you imagine them taking out my high school, your high school yearbook? I mean, I was such an idiot back then.
Well, who wasn't?
I know. That's why. And then being on national television, asking questions about when you're 15 and some of the words you used, he's like, that meant flatulence. We were 15. I just couldn't believe I was hearing that. It was actually kind of funny. I mean, it wasn't funny, you know?
It was so sad and pathetic. It was, as you said, you just like, this is like, this is surreal. Right. And then the people asking the questions, and maybe I know too much about these people. Okay. But when Richard Blumenthal, senator from Connecticut, is pointing his finger at Kavanaugh and telling him that he needs to be honest, Richard Blumenthal is the guy who for 15 years lied about serving in Vietnam and fighting in Da Nang when he never showed up in Vietnam. Or Cory Booker pointing the finger at Kavanaugh about sexual abuse when Cory Booker has admitted to sexually abusing someone when he was in high school.
It's like the Hillary Clinton. I mean, it's just so ridiculous.
It's projection.
Yes.
It's projection problem again.
So what do you foresee? What is your oracle projection on when the public will start to see? I mean, we're seeing the ramifications and the change that Trump is putting through. If you really look at things they're putting through, it's pretty remarkable for this country. I'm not totally in line with what he's doing geopolitically. There's some issues I have, but I don't think he has complete control of that. Well, for sure he doesn't. But there's just an amazing, I mean, he's done more than anybody I've ever seen. I've never seen this in my lifetime. But
well,
when,
I can tell you, when I look geopolitically, you know, the events that I think are just unbelievable to imagine are what's happened with North Korea.
That's a big deal.
Now here's the interesting thing, and this is a little insight into what I had heard from my contacts. He was inaugurated in end of January of 2017. By the beginning of March, my contacts were saying, you're going to be surprised what happens in North Korea because there's been already negotiations with Kim. And I'm like, wait a minute. He's calling the guy Rocket Man, for goodness sakes. What are you telling me? I mean, come on. I mean, he's talking about our nukes are bigger than your nukes and our missiles are bigger than your. All show. It's all show, Dan.
Well, my contacts, and hold on for a second, was telling me that Japan was on the forefront in negotiating with them.
And that's what I had heard. Japan was on the inside as well on that negotiation, along with some Russia coming involved, China coming involved, Japan coming involved, South Korea. I mean, but the bottom line is that Trump was an instrumental player. And I believe a lot of these political folks around the world have mentioned that it was actually Trump that kind of got everybody together. And frankly, it was Trump putting pressure on China. Because the only people that can put pressure on China because of our economic markets, our financial markets, are they can sell us stuff, is us. And Trump used that leverage on China to put pressure on North Korea. So while all this in public is going on about Rocket Man and all this other kind of stuff, behind the scenes, Trump's people have been meeting with them for months and setting this up. So geopolitically, if there's when I look at politics of what's happened. I believe our world is a much safer place today, less than 2 years after Trump took office, because of what has transpired with North Korea.
When you don't know what's really going on, I mean, some people say that Trump, if Trump was not Trump, he would earn the Nobel Peace Prize for his
career. He should. Yeah. I mean, what? No, Obama was in office, what, 2 months and he got the Nobel Peace Prize? This is the guy who became the droner in chief and killed how many thousands of people
ridiculous.
With drones? I mean, come on. But again, the Nobel Peace Prize is a globalist
prize. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, and I'd like to know what's really going on with, while as much as I like Israel from the standpoint of I want to support everybody. And I think that if we didn't support Israel, I think they would be crushed. However, I don't think their interests should come before ours.
And I completely agree with you. And one of my concerns is the number of dual citizens in Congress that exist. And I believe no one that's in any government position, any level, let alone Congress, should be a dual citizen with any country.
I agree.
And there are a number of dual citizens of the United States and Israel. And to me, I think that's wrong. And that's not, you know, because when you talk about this, then people go, oh, you're anti-Semitic by saying this. No, we're not anti-Semitic.
That's not the same. That's not it.
That is not it. What we are saying is you can't have dual allegiance, period, and be in a position of power in any country. There should be no one in Israel that is a dual citizen. There should be no one in any country that's a dual citizen that's serving in government, period.
And that, there's a lot that needs to be cleaned up there, and I don't
– Yeah.
I'd like to be a little bird on the wall, you know, hearing what's going on, because that, when I say geopolitically, I don't like some of that because of how much power they have in our country.
I agree.
And I think that's not, that's wrong. And it doesn't mean that we can't be a strong ally of theirs and we can't, all that other stuff, but they shouldn't come before us, period.
I completely agree. The priority of every person in government should be the well-being of our country, our Constitution, and every American citizen, period.
First.
Right. And only. That's it.
Absolutely,
and if you're a dual citizen, and if you're a dual citizen, you can't be 100% committed to that.
You can't be. And it's... No, that's why it's not, you're not supposed to be. What the heck's going on? Okay, so when are we going to start seeing public, I want you to do this oracle thing. I know people don't like to do that because it's so hard to guess. But when are those documents going to become declassified? And when are we going to start seeing more publicly that people are going to be doing perp walks?
So 3 weeks ago, Trump said, I want these declassified and I want them unredacted. 3 weeks ago. Now, what held that process up was Kavanaugh.
Well, I know that the Senate did a deal. There was trying to do a deal that we'll do the, there was a report on it that if a swap for keeping those things classified for Kavanaugh, they wanted to do a deal and Trump didn't go for it.
There was no deal done.
Yeah, no, they didn't do it.
But Trump was like, look, I'm not putting two boiling pots on the same burner. I can't do Kavanaugh and the declassification at the same time. We got to do Kavanaugh first. Because let's face it, what immediately happens after the declassification, as we mentioned, is Huber coming out with the criminal indictments and the military tribunals. So if you don't have your judges in place, and the deep state knew that. And that's why they were moving their puppets. The Feinsteins, the Bookers, the Hiranos, or whatever her name is, the Clintons, that's why they were moving them all out front to try to stretch this thing out. Their goal was to stretch this thing out past the midterms.
Mm-hmm.
And there to be such a negative reaction about the public about Kavanaugh and the like and the pulling of Kavanaugh's nomination that there would be this blue wave. Well, that backfired. That really backfired.
Thank God.
So when this is going to happen, if it was Trump's call, it would have happened 3 weeks ago. or immediately after Kavanaugh was approved. But because this got stretched out, it delayed the timeline. Now Kavanaugh's in place. So with Kavanaugh being in place, so what's happened in the interim? What's happened in the interim is that it's been decided that the Inspector General of the Department of Justice, Michael Horowitz, who has actually put a lot of big information out there for an extended period of time against the deep state. Remember, he's the source of all these texts and emails between Strzok and Page and McCabe and all this. He's the one who recommended that McCabe be prosecuted. You know, he still has to come forward on this Russian investigation. But what has been determined is all these documents had to be, Trump agreed about a week ago that they needed to be handed over, they could be handed over to the Inspector General for an expedited review to make sure that there's nothing classified in these documents, because that's what the deep state is going to claim and the puppets of the deep. Oh, there's sources and materials in these that is going to affect our intelligence networks. Meanwhile, Hillary's given 10,000 10,000 emails that are leading to 18 of our operatives getting killed.
It's in BS.
China. Right, right, right. So, but that's, but so Horowitz is on that. And I'm, as soon as that gets done, as soon as Horowitz is done with those documents, they become declassified. Now, I think Trump is going to get to a point where he's going to go, look, if you're not getting done with these things fast enough, I'm just going to, as a,
you'll be
as a president, mm-hmm. as the president, I have the executive privilege of saying they're all declassified and they're all unredacted, period, right now.
So you think it'll be after the midterms?
Now, some people are saying it's going to be after the midterms. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think he's going to wait till after the midterms. I mean, you know, that's no, you know, beginning of November. And some people say, well, that's only, you know, a couple, 3 weeks away. I don't think that's in his time frame. That's not how Trump works.
I don't think so either. That's a long time.
It's a long time.
A long time in politics.
The next shoe that drops now that Kavanaugh is there.
Is that?
Is the declassification. And I believe that declassification will hit before the midterms. And let's face it, every day that goes by that they're not declassified, in my mind, our country is harmed.
Well, absolutely, because they keep doing the same crap.
Right.
The longer it takes to get this knowledge out there and for us to start implementing the cleanup of the swamp... And I don't even think swamp is nowhere near a strong enough word, but
no,
still.
No, it's really a septic tank.
The septic tank, whatever you want to call it. The longer we wait, the more, more
so,
atrocities.
So in my mind, Sarah, they already should have been declassified. Period.
I agree with you.
Kavanaugh is there. And some people say, well, that's being critical of Trump. Okay, I'm critical of him. It's the way it is. In my mind, I'm a surgeon, right? If I see a vessel bleeding, I clamp it and cauterize it. Because if I don't, the person's going to bleed to death. Okay. I see our country is bleeding to death. Okay. The deep state is a huge leech allowing us to bleed to death. So as a surgeon, when I see the declassification issue and the ramifications that occur after that, I think it needs to happen, and it happens, it should happen today. The fact that it doesn't make you happy, doesn't make me happy, doesn't make any of our viewers or listeners happy. But I believe it needs to happen now. And that would be my hope. And any person I talk to that's involved in the administration or behind the curtain, I tell them that. And I don't get pushback from it.
Because they all agree?
Right.
Everybody agrees.
So if it's not happening today, which I believe it should, and you believe it should, then the question is, why isn't it happening today? Is it that Trump has been co-opted? No, I don't believe so. Is it that Trump has cut some deal and it's not going to happen? No, I believe that's not the case. Could it be that he's lining up some other things behind the scene that we don't know anything about, and so that when this hits, the dominoes fall faster? That's the only explanation I can give.
I keep saying I hope, but I hope you're right. Because that would be, I mean, that's the only reason that makes it right.
Correct. So when it happens, I'm anticipating it's going to happen before the midterms. I would anticipate that when you and I are done with this interview, I'm going to turn on the TV and I'm going to see an announcement that that the declassification process has begun. And everybody that's watching this interview is going to say, what are these two talking about? This already happened. Why are they acting like it didn't happen?
Well, I hope so.
Right.
Well, where can people get hold of you? Because you have amazing information. You have all these contacts. You are the must-go-to person. So where can they hear more of you?
Well, you're the go-to person. And I'm not just saying that. It's the truth. You do a phenomenal job. So if folks are interested in the work that I do and our team does, DaveJanda.com. We have we put a tremendous amount of public information on there. I do a radio show, which you've been a very valued guest on, every Sunday. It's a live show at 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. They can stream the show live free. They go to DaveJanda.com, hit the little listen live button in the right-hand corner. They can listen live. We have a tremendous amount of public information we upload. I have a YouTube channel, Operation Freedom. They can go there. In addition to that, at DaveJanda.com, we have a subscription service, 30 cents a day. And what we do with that is I have three other shows of which you've been a guest on one of them, the Insider Insight Show, that we put on a very regular basis. Usually every week we put up each of the three shows up, and where we deep dive on issues. Where on one of the shows, it's called the WTF Show, where I do a kind of analysis of what I'm hearing. Okay, behind the scenes from my contacts I've developed over 30 years of stuff that will not be heard or seen in the bought-off lamestream fake media to get people kind of ahead of the curve. I have the other Insider Insight show that you've been a guest on, the video interview where we deep dive on issues, and we did a deep dive on the pedophile networks, the human trafficking networks, and folks found your interview, Sarah, to be so compelling and so important. And I thank you for the time that you put on that interview. So we have the subscription side at DaveJanda.com. We have the public side at DaveJanda.com. We have the radio show on Sundays people can listen to on DaveJanda.com. If folks are subscribers, they can get the podcast for the show. They can listen to them 24/7, download them, and the like. And then I have the Operation Freedom YouTube channel. And those are probably the easiest ways to be in touch with if folks are interested in what I do and how I do it.
Well, you're incredible. So thank you so much. And thank you so much for spending your time to help this country and to do everything you can to get us through this period, because you know as much as I do, this is hard. And the more we learn, it's like, wow, it's a challenge above ourselves.
It is. And I thank you, Sarah, for everything that you do and how you do it. You are an incredibly thoughtful, classy person who focuses on the truth. And if the lamestream fake media ever becomes legitimate again, you are one of the people who should have a prime role in educating people on that kind of platform.
Well, I hope so. I think there's a long way to go, and we have to change what we know about history and where we're going forward. So we'll both be there, I think. I hope. Well, you have an amazing day, and thank you so much. Will you stick around for maybe about 5 minutes for my patrons?
Oh, I'd love to. I can drop a couple pieces of information for your patrons. They're not going to get other places, though. So.